Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Welcome to another edition of Monday Night Lights, even though it's 3 p.m. on the East Coast. I'm your host, Beau Marchant, and today we're going to have a jam-packed show for you. We got Green Bay running back Deshaun Winn pre-recorded. We're going to play that for you. We got D'Angelo Smith, fifth-round safety from Cincinnati, who got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys back in April. We're also going to have our NFL draft guru, Justin Van Poulven, at the top of the hour. At the bottom of the hour. And then we're also going to have Robert Brewer, our NFL correspondent. He's going to be sharing his views on some opinions going around the NFL. And most of you have heard the big news today is there's a lot of talk. And I think for most of us out there who follow this stuff, is the NFL leaning towards making the NFL draft a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, going into Sunday event, putting it in prime time. And I think it's something that if you guys are like me, you've noticed with the 15 minutes in the first round getting, you know, shut down to 10 minutes, it's something that you knew was going to come. It was something that was on the horizon as the NFL looks to make some more money, market it better. I know guys like myself, a lot of people that I talk to who are big draft fans and have grown up watching the draft all day Saturday, waking up for that cup of coffee on Sunday and watching those teams drag out the last few rounds. It's a big move. It might not be one that might be welcomed at first, but as always, no one likes change. For me personally, when I first heard about it, it was something I really did not like, but as it becomes like it's becoming a reality, that's something that we're all going to be looking at maybe as soon as next season. I think it's instead of 2 days, we're going to have maybe 4 days of the NFL draft. And when you think about that, really what could be wrong with that? It might add to a little bit more intrigue to maybe trading. Teams have a little bit more time. You know, it's not all one day. You know, you'll look at it and say, hey, we got, first round's over, second round's Friday. You know, what will happen overnight in those late midnight hours of the NFL, early mornings before this thing starts? What could transpire? I mean, teams have such few minutes now with the time being shut down to 10 minutes from 15 that, you know, you got 10 minutes to have a lot of things happen. I mean, none of us know. None of us are in those war rooms when guys are picking and teams are calling, maybe making the move. You know, a lot of that never gets spilled out to the public, you know, who was trying to do what, or, you know, was this team trying to move ahead of this guy to get this guy? You know, those are things that we aren't aware of. You know, you might see a little bit more, wiggle and shuffle in those picks if this actually comes to life as early as the 2009, or I should say 2010 NFL draft. But like I said, we've got a jam-packed show for you, and that's kind of been the topic of the day. The NFL maybe moving the draft to a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday format, breaking the rounds, you know, first round Thursday, second round, and so on. Like I said, if anything, it gives guys more time away from the women and children and home type care. It gets you out of the house, spend some more time with your buddies. It gives you an excuse not to cut the grass from Thursday to Sunday. Maybe Monday things will be a little bit need upkeep more so. Like I said, I like it. I didn't like it at first, but you know, it's something, you know, after 5 or 6 years of this, it's something you'll look back on and you probably won't be able to remember. Wow, imagine them doing this all in 2 days. You know, what was it like waking up at noon on Saturday, going all the way till late Saturday night, waking up Sunday and doing the whole thing over? So I think with this new format, you know, gives you some time. You know, like I said, it takes away from the marathon effect of it. Now it's more of like a short sprint each round, boom, boom, boom. I hope they don't cut down the minutes. I know it's an anxious time and you can't wait to see who goes next. That brings up another issue. If you're like me, I know I was disappointed in the coverage of this past NFL draft. It seemed like every time that cell phone rang, you know, they had the cameras on the guy as he was getting picked, and it kind of took away the excitement of watching the commissioner step down to the podium and announce who is this next team going to select. And by them being able to, you know, hey, we got a camera on every – I don't even know how they did it. I mean, ESPN, I mean, they had a camera on every single – it seemed like players, where they were, there was a camera showing these guys kid picks. You know, Chris Wells, look, phone call, you know, took away the suspense. You know, who are the Cardinals going to take? And after that, you know what? You knew. It took away that excitement, and it was sad, like I said, because I know for one, I like being able to look at it, see what's come, you know, guessing, hey, man, you know, I don't know who the Cardinals are going to take. What do you think they're going to take? You wait that moment. He steps to the podium. He walks out, and you're waiting to feel those words come off his lips, you know, but you missed that. Every single selection, they were on the phone. They were showing it. And I said, I was disappointed in that coverage. I hope that's something that they take away from, they move away from. But in the way the world is today with Twitter and all the other ways to get information, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it comes a point where you know, it's even quicker when you know these guys are going to go to where they're going. But like I said, we're going to be looking for a name change because we can't be calling Monday Night Lights, when we're going to 3 p.m. Eastern time, to the 4 o'clock. So any of you people listening out there, you want to shoot us a chat session. I see we got a guest in there. Shoot us some names. We're going to be flying some names around, looking for a new name, something catchy, something we can promote to you guys, something you guys will like, having the theme name of the show. Like I said, Monday Night Lights is now 3 to 4 o'clock, so Monday Night Lights really sounds kind of kooky. But today, like I said, we got Deshaun Winn, Green Bay Packers. We got D'Angelo Smith, Dallas Cowboys. We got Robert Brewer, our NFL correspondent at 3:40. Justin Van Fulpen, our NFL draft expert. He's going to be breaking things down for us. If you've been going to NFLDraftBible.com, you know Justin's been coming on every Monday, breaking down the conferences and what to expect from the Big Ten, Pac-10, all the big conferences in college, the top 10 senior prospects, guys that you can look at now, guys that you're going to be probably watching in the NFL tomorrow. And then, like I said, that comes – the college season's only about a month away. Next 2 weeks, August? I think 8th, that weekend starts the Hall of Fame weekend, and yours truly is going to be in Canton covering the enshrinement and covering the Hall of Fame game, so this should be an exciting time. I know I'm excited to get to Canton and mingle with some of the NFL's finest, most honored players, you know, the ultimate pinnacle for any player to be honored in the NFL Hall of Fame, so that it's going to be bringing back a lot of interviews and content to bring to the show, and I know I'm looking forward to that. 3:10, like I said, D'Angelo Smith, Dallas Cowboys safety. He's going to be joining us, and I'm just bringing us through a Monday afternoon. Just got back from vacation, little island down off Virginia, Chincoteague. Very peaceful. You get there, you turn off the cell phones, no computers, nothing. Just sit back, lay in the sun, stare at the ocean, and that's it. That's what I do. I did it for a week. I'm revved up. Another week to go before the Hall of Fame. So like I said, we're going to have a lot of things that are going to start moving quickly. Camps are going to start to really get in high gear. Everybody's going to start really picking up. It brings a lot more fun to the show. These are like the dog days of summer. Not much action, but enough. And if you folks are just joining in, like I said, the talk of the day is the NFL finally maybe putting their foot down, bringing the NFL draft to almost a half a week long event, opening up on Thursday, primetime television, round one. And that should be an interesting scenario if that's going to happen. I always believed it has since they started, since they broke down rounds one and two down the Saturday and they eliminated the clock from 15 to 10 minutes. I mean, that's the NFL trying to make this more viewable for the common person. You know, it's kind of like how they always wanted Monday Night Football to kind of be a little bit less football-oriented. That way the ladies will watch with you. You know, you throw a Jessica Simpson on there at halftime talking with the people. You know, you have Faith Hill opening up, singing a song. It makes everyone feel like, hey, come on. It's not so much a sporting event. Now it's like a television show. And that's what the NFL wants to make into the NFL draft. They want to make it more fan-friendly. You know, I know it's diehard people who love the 15 minutes and waiting. You know, they don't want that. They want to make this more mainstream. They want to make this more where everybody's going to watch it. It's not something so hard. I mean, you know, anyone who watches the NBA draft, the whole NBA draft takes, what, an hour and a half? The whole thing's done. You know, I mean, they got two rounds, but granted, I mean, it's boom, 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 done. You know, baseball, I mean, the thing lasts for 7.5 months. They got 175 rounds. Thing goes, I think it's still going on. I don't think it ever ends. I think they just 365 rounds around every day. And then 2010, January 1, round 1, and then so on and so on. And give a shout-out to my cousin Greg Rowan, Chicago Cubs, round 17. So something to take. And he's in Idaho playing some minor league ball. Hoping he gets that big shot. I'm your host, Paul Marchant, and you're listening to Monday Night Lights, even though it's 3 p.m. on the East Coast. And like I said, building up to the big show, Hall of Fame, 2 weeks. I'm excited. This Friday, before that, I got a big weekend coming up. Yours truly. I'm going to run a 100-mile ultra-thon. They give you 30 hours to do it. And like I said, so Monday, we'll hear the results and see how I feel. I might be comatose and out of it, maybe having a few IVs in me, and we'll see. But that's this Saturday. We're going to be banking on getting that done, and we're going to start searching for D'Angelo Smith, Dallas Cowboys safety. He should be joining us right around now. Like I said, we got Deshaun Winn, Green Bay Packer running back as well. Like I said, jam, full-pack show for you, and I'm excited to bring it to you. Letting you people know out there that the NFL Draft Bible, all the shows, even when the guys do the Fantasy Football Insiders, you can go on the NFLDraftBible.com and you can find that stuff and listen in and archive it. And I believe we have D'Angelo Smith calling in now. Hello, caller. Is this D'Angelo? No, we just called. We had him and lost him. Maybe he'll call us back. Call back in for you. I believe that was D'Angelo Smith, safety, Dallas Cowboys. So we're going to try to give him back online here for you, bring it to you. You know, the interesting thing about Smith is he played his college football in Cincinnati. I'm interested to ask him, but Mike Mickens, also his teammate in Cincinnati, is also a Cowboy, and they both got drafted this year. So I think I want to see, you know, two guys play all their college football together, and now they're in camp together. I wonder if that gives them, you know, strength in numbers, somebody you can talk to, somebody you can rely on. And, I think that's probably something that probably helps both of those guys, you know, when they start full-blown training camp. You know, having a teammate, some guy you've been through the trenches with, I think that got to bring a lot to the table. You know, even if those guys are paired up, you know, during the same plays, I think you have a sense of, you know, hey, this guy's got my back, I got his back. You know, and like I said, you know, coaches want players to play. They don't want them to think. They want it to come naturally. The more you think, the less you're reacting. So I think something like that has to give those guys just the slightest advantage. You know, you're from Wisconsin. I'm from Cincinnati. I really don't know you. I don't know how how you're going to play me back. I got your back. You know, you don't know. With these guys, you know, they've done it. They've been there. And like I said, it's an exciting time. Football's getting in gear. 2 weeks. We are going to have the NFL Hall of Fame game, the enshrinement. Bob Hayes, Derek Thomas, Rod Woodson, Bruce Smith. I think I'm forgetting one more. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But like I said, you're nothing better than the Hall of Fame. That starts it off, watching that Monday night game, seeing the enshrinement guys come in, watching the watching those guys. It's fantastic. You got to love it. We got a caller. Caller, how you doing?
How you doing, D'Angelo?
Hey, there you are. This is D'Angelo Smith, Dallas Cowboys safety, fifth round out of Cincinnati. D'Angelo, I was just talking to the people out there prior to you coming on. I said it with teammate Mike Mickens playing with you. You guys were an awesome tandem with Cincinnati. How is that having your teammate? Does that kind of give you somebody to fall back on? I mean, does that give you kind of like, you know, a strength in numbers, somebody that you know you can depend on, somebody you can talk to while you're going through this process?
I just feel good just have somebody that you've been playing with for like the last 4 years, you know, being there and you can be able to talk to them if you're having a problem or, you know, just y'all can relate to a lot of things because y'all knowing each other for the past 4 years.
Yeah, and I think that has to help you out tremendously. So, I mean, has this been the most hectic year so far your entire life? I mean, from January on, I mean, one step from combine to pro days to the draft. I mean, what's it been like, a roller coaster?
No, I've been just enjoying it, like, just because you only go through this once. So, you know, you got to take advantage of every opportunity that you get presented with. And I just been taking advantage of it, enjoying it, and, you know, just trying to get my relaxed time, too, at the same time, because I've really been going nonstop since January. So I'm just kind of enjoying it and just, you know, taking it all in.
And, I mean, when do you guys open camp?
We open up tomorrow. We report tomorrow.
Okay, so, I mean, you've had a couple weeks to kind of relax. Did you do anything? Did you get away?
No, I really just was working out up at the school, and then I just came back down here a couple of days ago and just really getting my mind right and prepared.
Yeah. Now, people, you grew up in Columbus. You played your college football in Cincinnati. Was there any chance of you playing for the Buckeyes when you were going through that process?
Nah, well, like, they had recruited me. I wasn't heavily recruited by them, so I really couldn't tell you if I had a chance of playing with them. But, I mean, I was just really trying to get to wherever I was going to play, whoever I was going to play for. And then that's when I was happy to really get a scholarship to Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, what's it like? When you were in Cincinnati, did you spend any time at Kings Island? Did you enjoy the amusement park they got down there?
Oh, yeah. I went to the, you know, during camp, we had a Kings Island day. So
Okay. All
the players went out there, you know, enjoyed, get it. Like, it was like a free day off, kind of. And really just enjoyed it, enjoyed the rides, hang out with the players, and just get to know the freshmen a little better.
Yeah. You ride all the rides? Is there anything you won't ride, or you ride anything?
I ride anything. I like to ride the rides. I'm going to try Six Flags down here in Dallas once I get some time.
Yeah, and speaking of Dallas, I mean, you're a Dallas Cowboy. What was your reaction, I mean, playing for such, I mean, America's team? Did you think you were going to Dallas back in April?
Well,
I mean, did you have any inklings of where you might go?
Well, see, this is the only team I had visit with, and like, I was hoping I came here because I've been a Cowboys fan since I was, you know, younger, and I got younger pictures of me and my Cowboys jersey and everything. But, hey, I was happy to become a Cowboy, and, you know, it's America's team.
Yeah, so, I mean, was Dave Woodson, was that somebody you kind of, you know, liked growing up? I mean, was that your guy since you kind of played the same position, or was it Dion?
Well, I was multiple. I like different type of guys. I was more of a corner guy, and like now I like Darren Wilson too at the same time. So Deion, Larry Brown, like a lot of them guys, they all made plays. So it was kind of just added a little bit to my game.
Yeah, speaking of making plays, now you and your teammate Mike Mickens back in college, I think you guys 26 interceptions. I think that was the most by any active tandem in college football in 2008. I know in high school you had a lot of returns for interceptions, like 5 touchdowns, I think. And I know you did a little bit of return yard. Has the Cowboys had you doing any type of punt or kickoff duties in camp?
I've been practicing the punt and kickoff, but we'll see how that goes during the preseason and everything. Really just trying to get on the special teams and just try to make a name for myself there, and then hopefully everything else will fall in line.
So, I mean, what's the biggest, I mean, I always say speed. Is it the speed of the game that's kind of caught you by surprise so far? I mean, what's kind of stuck out the most to you since you've been, you know, through OTAs and spring camps? And
really just mentally, like, you gotta be able to take in a lot and just be able to apply it right then and there and just really taking in a lot of the plays and learning stuff. And that's, once you get the mental part down, then you'll be able to get the physical and, like you said, the speed and all that. But, I mean, everybody's fast here. So after you get your ways within it, you'll start filling it out more, and then your game will just adjust to it.
Now, have you visited the new stadium? I mean, have you been in there and checking it out?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's going to be a fantastic place from the looks of it on TV and what you can see on the internet. So, D'Angelo, that's who we're speaking with, D'Angelo Smith, Dallas Cowboys fifth round safety, formerly of the Cincinnati Bearcats. D'Angelo, I mean, since you've been in camp, I mean, what's the biggest adjustment you've had to make? I mean, has anyone caught your eye offensively or defensively?
Terrence Newman been just like teaching me a lot, really, just showing me the ins and outs of the game, and like Bobby Carpenter, he's been showing me a lot, and I just trying to really get adjusted to the game. Like, I'm sure I can apply with get adjusted to everybody else playing wise, but everybody looks good. Everybody seems excited to play, and I'm really just excited to get started.
Have you met with Jerry Jones at all?
Yeah, I met with him on my visit, and I think he'd be out on the practice field a lot. So.
Cool. So he spent a lot of time out there, huh?
Yeah.
Now, Coach Wade Phillips, I know he's the defensive mind, so do you get to see him a lot more than most, offensive-type guys? Is he around a lot?
I mean, yeah, because he basically runs the defense, so. You were seeing him more than anything, because I'm a defensive player at that, so.
Yeah. How about Brett Maxey and, like, Dave Campo? I mean, those are your secondary guys. How are those guys to, you know, be coach under?
They're great guys. I mean, they know a lot, and they can teach you a lot, and I'm just trying to take it all in.
So, is there any T.O. talk? I mean, is that kind of past? Do you still hear a lot of T.O. talk down there in Dallas?
Not really. I mean, I just got here, so I think everybody's just, like, focusing on the season and just getting ready for the 2009 campaign.
I mean, you just being drafted, I mean, I think last year, I mean, Dallas was a team that many considered a Super Bowl favorite. Is there a kind of feeling in the locker room that, you know, like, this is our year type feeling? I mean, what's the attitude when you guys kind of break huddle?
I mean, I would think everybody's goal is to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think everybody's mind is, like, set for that. And just, you know, we're going to take one game at a time and just go from there.
Excellent. Like I said, we're speaking with D'Angelo Smith, Dallas Cowboys safety. D'Angelo, you're heading into camp, you know, starts tomorrow. I mean, have you had any rookie hazing type incidents yet, anything like that? Or have you heard any stories that are about to happen to you, anything that you know is on the horizon?
No, I've really just been hearing a story, so we'll see once we get to camp. So hopefully nothing too bad happen, but I'll be prepared for it, really.
Have you heard anything yet, any horror stories from former guys, what they had to go through?
No, there really haven't been too many hurt stories besides, like, your rookie dinner and all that. But, I mean, everybody goes through that, so we'll see.
Excellent. I mean, so how about in Cincinnati? I mean, being a senior, I mean, your last year there, I mean, do you guys have anything like that? Any freshman things that they got to do?
Nah, we just saw everybody got treated the same because, actually, you need everybody on the roster to win. So. We really wasn't, like, no hazing. Maybe you carry the helmet off the field, but that ain't really nothing too bad. But our coaches always told us you need everybody to win, and maybe a freshman might end up playing, so you just got to treat everybody the same.
Excellent. So, I mean, looking back at your college career, is there anything that you I mean, you left it all there, but is there anything, if you could go back and maybe change a play in a game or anything like that that sticks back, anything that haunts you sometimes at night?
No. I'm satisfied with my career at University of Cincinnati. And one highlight I always remember is the interception I got between Rutgers when they were, like, ranked number 7, I think. That's, like, probably one of the huge, a big moment at UC for me.
Excellent. Can't beat that. Well, D'Angelo, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. And anytime that you feel like shooting us a tidbit and see how camp's going, we'd love to have you back on the show and just find out how, the preseason's coming along for you. And just want to thank you for joining us here on Monday Night Lights.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
Yep, thank you. Right. And that was D'Angelo Smith, Dallas Cowboy safety. He's going to be making his way. He was a fifth-round pick. I think the 173rd pick, I believe, overall. Like I said, him and Mike Mickens, teammates in Cincinnati, they're a great tandem down there. Definitely the Big East is going to miss seeing those guys kind of roaming that secondary because they were a real force. And now we have Deshaun Wynn, Green Bay running back, for you. Welcome back to the NFL Draft Bible, Monday Night Lights. And today we're joined with Deshaun Wynn, Green Bay running back, formerly of the national champion Florida Gators. Deshaun, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, bro. Yourself?
Oh, I'm excellent. How has spring camp gone for you thus far?
I'm pretty good. Got some quality reps in, during the OTAs, ICWs, and the mini camp we had, and just looking forward to putting the pads on and getting training camp full force.
So, have you been spending a lot of time, like you said, you've been getting a lot of reps?
Basically, throughout the practice, you pretty much just split reps.
Okay.
For the most part, it's not like somebody goes in for this or that. It's just pretty much, the luck of the draw with the reps done. Those things, but I think training camp would be a little specified for people rep-wise.
Yep. Now, going into your third season in Green Bay, I know you had, I think, about 50 carries your rookie season. They got cut back a little last year. What kind of role do you think you're going to carve out for yourself this season?
I'm not sure. I know one thing for sure, probably more of a, special teams. I've been looking forward to getting on a lot of these special teams. Well, I don't think I played any my rookie year. And, start off with that, and I think the running back squad just take care of itself, however they want to use me.
Yeah.
And,
I remember reading about you and covering your, when you were coming out of Florida, and I know some consider that you might be able to play the fullback position. Has that been anything that's been brought up or anything that you've tried to toy with?
It hasn't come up yet. I wouldn't turn down an idea. I'm definitely up for whatever, but, I'm sure if the situation came to, where I had to play that position or whatever, then I'd be just fine as.
So, and what's it like playing under former Green Bay Packer Edgar Bennett, the running back coach?
He's a great coach, I got kind of fortunate, to be around him my first few years here in the league. He's just very detailed, and the things he does are pretty much perfectionist, and that becomes a habit after a while once you, got it repped into your head all the time about doing the little things and this and that. I think it helps out a lot, and that's one thing, he's helped me out with a bunch.
Now, spending the last 2 years in Green Bay, do you stay there all year round?
Definitely not. It gets too cold around the winter times. But, when I can, I like to get away. Pretty much during the season, you're there the whole time. So when there is a little break, I like to go visit family and friends.
And you're from Cincinnati. You go back to the Cincinnati area?
Yeah, I go back pretty often just to visit my parents. But, every now and then I make a trip down to Florida to visit some old friends from college and teammates.
Cool. And touching on Cincinnati, when's the last time you've been to Kings Island?
Actually, I was supposed to go this Saturday, but looking forward to it. I probably haven't been since my junior year in high school, so I'm just going to be excited just to see what kind of new stuff they got.
Yeah, I was there last year, actually, and
I know they're opening up a brand new roller coaster that was going to be open for this year. It's called like the Diamondback, some sort of snake name. So you'll have to text me and tell me how that is. I don't know. You know what? It wasn't built. They were like building it. Like they unveiled it the day that we were there, and they had like this big model sketch of it. It looked pretty funky though. I mean, it looked like a nice coaster. So I mean,
how it is.
Yeah. It looks cool, man. So, when you go back to Florida, I mean, who are some of your Florida teammates that you kind of keep in touch with?
Kenny Kravitz a little bit. Jarvis Moss, he's one of my best friends in college.
Okay.
A few other people that Hoops just threw it, you know, what I became close with while I was in school.
So, I mean, what was it like going back to, you know, the championship season? You know, it's 31-14 at halftime over Ohio State. I mean, when your team went into the locker room, what was the feeling inside the locker room being up 31-14 in the national championship game at halftime?
Had a lot of energy, you know. We definitely weren't relaxed due to the score. But I think we had a big senior group that year, 22 seniors. And, you know, we went through a lot throughout our career, two coaches, and to get to that point in that game, you know, I don't think anybody ever got relaxed, you know, to the last second. It was in the book that we were champions.
So, I mean, what was that like, an Ohio guy growing up in Cincinnati, not too far from Columbus? You know, did you take a lot of heat from home, taking down the
road? It was great. I got a chance to come home before the championship game done on Christmas time and had a bunch of uncles and friends and stuff, you know, talking about Ohio State and how we can't stop them and Ohio's the quarterback. And I had a few friends on my side who was, you know, telling me it wasn't going to happen like that. But I caught a lot of fight right before the game, but when I came back after the game, I didn't hear much.
Yeah, it was probably pretty quiet after that. So, I mean, playing with guys, you know, like Tim Tebow and the Piercy Harvins, you know, Piercy's in the NFL now. You'll be seeing him twice a year. A guy like Tim Tebow, what's he like to play with?
He brings a lot of energy to the game. I was fortunate enough to play with him 1 year, and he played a big role in our championship season. Just bring a lot of energy. You can tell it's a guy who, you know, loves the game of football. And I think most importantly, like, you know, everybody knows he's just a great person. Very humble and, you know, the kind of guy that anybody would want on their team.
And going from one coach to the new coach when Urban Meyer came in, what was that transition like? I mean, did you expect success that quickly? That type of success? A national championship?
No, at first it was kind of rough. One thing about Coach Meyer, he's just very upfront. You know, he doesn't, you know, walk on eggshells to speak. He's just upfront with you. And, you know, for some people, if they can't handle it, you know, he'll be dead honest with you. And I think the biggest thing with him, he'll call you out in front of everybody, and that kind of motivates you, you know, to not let your peers down. And he's just a great motivator and a great coach, you know, somebody that you want to play hard for every day. And, you know, when that happens and the whole team's playing hard and sacrificing everything, then it helps.
Excellent. You ever get called out by Coach Meyer?
Yeah, he called me out the first day he got there. He was still with Utah when he called me out.
What'd you get called out for?
I don't even want to say it. He asked me, he was like, where's Deshaun Winn at? Would you stand up? I stood up. He was like, you were probably one of the best high school running backs I've ever seen come out, and you come here and you don't do SHIT. He was like, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? And, you know, kind of found the whole team. I really didn't know how to respond, and, you know, I think that was the first time I had ever, you know, been put in front of everybody like that. And there was, you know, that kind of attitude that makes you want to prove him wrong, you know, and, prove everybody else wrong.
Wow, that's a nice little story. And then from, you know, the national championship game, you know, you get drafted by Green Bay. So what's it like since you've been in Green Bay? I mean, the fans, obviously, some of the greatest football fans in the world. I mean, is it hard to be in such a small community and get privacy in a place like that?
I'm not sure for the big stars, but for me, it's not a problem at all. I'm not, you know, too much in the spotlight like a lot of guys, like Greg Jennings and Don Jarvis and such, but it's just, like you said, a small community. You know, you might get a look or something every now and then. People wonder if you're a Packer, but other than that, you know, it's great. Have the great fans, like you said, and just a great football environment. You know, I think some a town being that small,
see? I mean, do you have like the Bart Starr type guys always popping in? I mean, is that something you might frequent a lot at like practices or anything like that?
Not too much. You might see them every now and then. They might bring somebody in or someone to talk to us, you know, or be inspirational, but no, you don't see them too often.
So, I mean, going back 2 years ago to your rookie season, did you have any rookie hazing or any rookie stories that the vets put you through?
Actually, the best part about Green Bay is they don't have any rookie hazing. Probably the worst thing I did was carry pads after practice, probably 3 sets of shoulder pads or buy a team meal. So I can handle that. Other than that, it was pretty good.
Oh, cool. Now, has that been like that all the time, or did they, like, make it like that after a certain point or anything? You know, any background on that?
Yeah, I'm not sure when it got put in place, but I know when I first got there, they didn't have it in line. I don't know if it's a Coach McCarthy thing or something like that, but I'm glad it was in place.
And Deshaun, people listening out there, you know, I could not ask you, they'd be mad at me. What was it like last season going through the whole Brett Favre scenario with the media, and how crazy was that?
It was kind of crazy, just, you know, all the different rumors that you hear about this, about that, and what the organization is saying, and, you know, you hear all kinds of stories. I think for our team, I don't think it was too distracting. Probably the most distracting part was getting questions asked about it all the time, you know, while you're trying to get ready for training camp and, you know, different things like that. That was probably the most distracting part was, you know, coming to every interview and having the Brett Favre question asked to you. But I don't think it took away from our team focus, you know, once they, you know, said Aaron was going to be the guy, and everybody rallied around Aaron, and then, you know, after that, we didn't think too much about it.
How's that new 3-4 defense, how's that look going up against? Did the guys got it down yet?
I like the way it looks so far, you know. You really can't tell right now, as, you know, where our pads are, still in the early stages, but from my perspective, I like the way it looks. They got a lot of nice blitz packages in it. You know, it's kind of confusing for offenses, you know, to pick up people. So I think it's all worked out for us.
Excellent. And, I mean, you're there every day throughout the spring practices and OTAs. I mean, has there anybody that caught your eye that kind of looks like they really improved since last season? Or any rookies that are kind of taking the camp by storm?
I like B.J. Rodgers. He looked pretty good during the team practices we had. Real quick, you know, knows how to use his hands well, and, you know, I think he's going to really help us out in that 3-4. And also, Clay Matthews, he looks like, you know, he's quick and powerful and somebody that can help us off the edge. So I'm looking forward to see what them two can do this year for us.
Yeah, those are two nice additions. B.J. Raji, the first pick of the Green Bay Packers, and they followed up with Matthews. And we're listening with Deshaun Winn, Green Bay running back, formerly of the Florida Gators. He's joining us on the NFL Draft Bible Monday Night Lights. And Deshaun, I mean, so you got a couple more weeks before you really get back into it full swing. You got any plans that you're going to do this summer before you get back to work?
Just working out. I probably took like a week and a half off after the mini camp, that which we ended on, and just relaxed. But, you know, I've been working out ever since and just getting my body ready and doing everything I can to get physically ready for the training camp coming up. You know, it's off during training camp, and, you know, we got to go in there with a good mind state and, you know, physical condition.
Excellent. And we usually do this with the guys coming out of school, but I figure we'll have some fun before we let you go. We call this three and out, and so it's just a little segment. We have some fun with some one-liners. You ready to roll with it?
Yeah.
All right. Would you rather be a lead singer of a boy band or a male runway model?
A male runway model.
Any reason why?
I'm not into the boy band kind of thing. doesn't fit my personality.
Cool. What competition would you get farther in, Dancing with the Stars or American Idol?
Dancing with the Stars. I can't sing at all.
Okay. Can you dance?
Probably better than I can sing.
Okay. All right. And the final question before we let you go here, Deshaun, would you hold a live tarantula in your hand?
No way.
No. There you go. Not too many people say yeah, so don't feel bad. Actually, it's kind of funny. The only guys that ever said yes to that question were fullbacks. I think I asked maybe 100 guys that question, and like two guys answered yes, and they were both fullbacks. So who knows? So, well, Deshaun, we want to thank you for joining us. You're always welcome to call in. If you got any news about training camp or how things are going for you, you're more than welcome to come in and share it with us. And just want to thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Bob.
Yep, take care.
That was Deshaun Winn, Green Bay running back, joining us here on Monday Night Lights. Even though we're at 3 p.m., the new time, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern. And we have our NFL guru, Justin Van Fulpen. I see him calling in. And we got one caller also calling in. I want to get these lined up. I know Justin's in the house. And I got what's up, Justin? How you doing?
Good. How's it going, man?
Excellent. Justin, we got a caller on the line. We're going to take this call. We're going to see who this is. We got a 315 area code coming in.
Cool.
So, hello. Who are you, caller?
Oh, this is Jerigo Thomas. I just talked to you like earlier today.
Okay.
Talking to Rick earlier today. What's up? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Jamico Thomas.
Jerigo,
Jerigo. You're also on the online with our NFL draft guru, Justin Van Fulpen. Jerigo, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. So I am a semi-pro football player. I played last year in 2008, though. I played outside linebacker, 6'3", 230 pounds. I ran a 4.54 last year. I also just recently attended NFL scout camp in New Jersey. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, I attended scout camp in New Jersey, like I said. Then after that, I got a couple good feedback from NFL scouts and everything. As of right now, I'm just training for 2009. I got a showcase in Columbus, Ohio, and after the NFL season, and private workout with the NFL team.
So, do you know what private team you're gonna? Can you divulge that? Who you're gonna be working out for?
I really don't want to say it though because it's not confirmed yet though, but it will be pretty soon though.
Excellent. Have you put any thoughts or had any contact with the UFL, the new league that they're starting up?
I had a little bit of contact though, but with their league is that I just want to get players that's been cut from training camp or missed training camp or had like prior mini camp experience though, but next year, yeah, it's looking good for that.
Excellent. Now, your training, I was reading a little bit about you earlier. I know you're training. Have you been that combine type training? I mean, is that what you've been doing constantly? I mean, what's your routine right now?
My routine right now as of today. I am doing. I was doing a little bit of combine type of things though, but as of right now, I'm doing like agility drills, doing ladders, running tracks and all that stuff, and just doing my regular lifts and everything, what I need to do to get my own weight up and all that stuff.
And I mean, is there any chance of you trying to get into a camp? I mean, have you any contact with teams right now?
Right now I have no contacts with teams though, but when I went to the combine in New Jersey, I talked to a couple NFL scouts and all that. They just told me to keep doing what I'm doing. And like after the season, it'll be all good after the season, though. But as of right now, no, I have no contact with no teams.
Okay. How about the CFL? I know some guys I've talked to trying to break it into the NFL. I know that the CFL is an option. I mean, are you concentrating solely on just the NFL or the CFL? Is that an option for you?
Okay. I'm gonna explain it to you. I like the CFL though, but I'm solely concentrating on the NFL though. But the NFL, I feel I'll get the NFL next year though. But hey, I got the CFL and the UFL. I can get.
Excellent. And as well, Justin, do you have any questions for Jerigo Thomas here?
I was just gonna say, as far as when you look at what you project at the next level, I mean, where do you think you project as far as position and what do you think you could bring to an NFL team?
Okay, as a position wise, I project as an outside linebacker, but I can play strong safety. But I think that I can bring a lot of potential to any NFL team. Heart, versatility, and my skill set is pretty good in my opinion. I think I'm just a hard blue collar worker basically.
Gotcha. And as far as scheme wise, when you guys you're talking about an outside linebacker, you feel more, you know, as far as confident or as far as comfortable in a 3-4 or a 4-3 defense?
Okay, that's a good question, sir. Okay, in my opinion, I'm comfortable either way, man. I can put my hands on. I can stand up. I can move around side to side.
Gotcha. But if someone said, hey, you know, give us, hey, what guy that you kind of emulate your game at, or a guy who that's in the league right now who you would say, hey, for the listeners out there that can kind of relate to the player that you are, what type of player in the NFL right now is relates best to your game and your skill set that you would bring to an NFL team?
Okay. To be honest with you, I really think that I can emulate my game after DeMarcus Ware, Terrell Suggs, and the recent NFL draftee, Aaron Maben.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So definitely that 3-4, that hybrid type guy who's a good athlete and can as far as rush the passer.
Yep, correct.
Great.
Now, besides, we have Robert Brewer. You're online right now, too?
That's me. I'm right here.
All right. So we got Justin Van Hoopen, we got Jericho Thomas, and we got Robert Brewer, our NFL correspondent. Robert, we got Mr. Thomas here on the line. Is there any questions that you want to shoot at him as he kind of tries to make his way to the NFL?
Well, I'd like to know how he feels about the Michael Vick situation, because we got the commissioner who's about to come down on him yet again for a 4-game suspension. I was wondering how he felt about Michael Vick going through yet another suspension by the NFL.
Mm. Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, that's a very, very good question. is he asking, should he get suspended? Is that what he's asking?
I mean, he might get suspended again for another 4 games starting off in 2009. So I'm wondering, would you say that that's fair or not?
Okay, I got you now. Okay. I have to agree with Terrell Owens, his comments. I think it's not fair either, though. The man served 23 months in jail, and he gave back. He got, in my opinion, he served his debt to society, and he's working with the national the society of for the dogs and all that stuff. I think it's not fair if he gets suspended for 4 games, though. I think it's not fair.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that, and I want to ask you another question here, because I'm thinking, like, in terms of if I was a player, I don't understand these suspensions at all. You got, you know, Chris Henry's out for 8 games, Michael Vick's out for 4 games, and then somebody else might be out indefinitely. There's really no, like, consistency with the suspensions. So if you were a player facing a suspension, how would you feel about that? That you know, like, Roger Goodell's pretty much playing God with your career.
Oh man, that's another good point you brought up, man. You're asking tough questions, but I got it though. As a player, I feel upset, to be honest with you, though, because I think it's not fair. If I see one guy get suspended for 8 games, one guy get suspended for 4, one guy get suspended for 1 year, it's not fair though. But also at the same time, you have to look at the level of the penalty what he's facing, like what he did though, like. The, for example, Mike Vick got dog fighting. It's up to Goodell. He's a commissioner. We can't do nothing. It's out of our hands, though, basically.
So I guess that means you're going to have to stay out of trouble. You don't have any off-the-field issues, do you?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
Okay.
I am so clean like a book, man. I'm very clean.
Good.
Mr. Thomas, going back to your college days, I mean, is there anyone that stands out in your mind that you played against that's now in the pro games that you keep your eye on? That you say, hey, I played against. I said, going back to your college days, I mean, is there anybody that you watch right now that you went up against and you kind of look back and say, hey, you know, I played with this guy. I could hang with this guy. You know, I want to be playing too.
To be honest, not really, though, sir. Not really, to be honest with you on that.
Nobody stands out from your college days?
No, not at all.
All right.
That was a good question, Nova. Yeah, no, basically, that was a very good question, Nova. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're good. So, Justin, do you have any more questions with Jericho Thomas?
No, I, you know, hopefully, you know, you definitely get an opportunity to make it. I mean, going to those scout camps. And I mean, there's definitely as far as opportunities out there, and just keep working hard, and you know, keep getting that film out and those that tape out to NFL teams. And you know, if you get a shot to get to the CFL teams, I'd recommend that as well, just to get your foot in the door somewhere.
No, thank you, man. Thank you, sir, for the support. Thank you.
No problem.
Take care. And we're still on. We got Justin Van Fulpen and we got Robert Brewer online. How you guys doing today? Good?
Good.
Yeah, you know, guys, this whole hour format is kind of crazy. This, you know, usually I sit here with Justin on a Monday night and we got no callers. And today this thing's been lighting up. Like, there's been guys calling in the whole show. Very, very different. And like I said, I see all these area codes coming up and something, like I said, I'm not used to. Justin, you know as well. I mean, we've got so many times we've got people calling in left and right.
No. But, you know, that's always a good thing, you know, as far as, you know, get those listeners out there and as far as call in, get the information, because, you know, that's what the NFL Draft Bible is about, as far as getting that information out to the fans.
Excellent. And Robert, I know you're going to start joining us as well weekly. I thought what you were asking Jericho was pretty cool with the NFL suspensions. I mean, I think that's the problem with Roger Goodell. It's something that's hard for him to police. I mean, how hard does he come down on certain guys? And I know me and Justin talked before. I think the whole dog fighting thing, for some reason, that seems more heinous and more disgusting than any crime that a human can do to another human. I mean, I don't think Dante Stallworth gets the same reaction as Michael Vick did. Even though Dante Stallworth was behind the wheel and took another man's life, there's not that sour distaste for Dante Stallworth that Michael Vick, you know, that carries him. I mean, you guys agree with that?
Well, I think they're two very, you know, bad situations. I don't know how you could weigh one over the other. You know, one guy is murdering dogs in his own backyard, and the next guy, he gets drunk behind the wheel and then he kills somebody. So they're both bad situations, and I think they both should be punished. But the thing is, the problem that I have with Roger Goodell is that there's absolutely no consistency from one punishment to the other. You know, you get all these different. It seems like he just picks numbers out of a hat. Oh, Michael Vick, you know, you get 4 games because I just picked it out of a hat. That seems cute, 4 games. You know, and then we'll give you 8 games for the next guy, and then Plexico Burress is out indefinitely. I umpire Little League Baseball, so if it's a high strike for this kid, it's got to be a high strike for that kid, and then it's got to be a high strike the same time for the next kid. And if it's not consistent, I'm going to have a lot of ticked off parents and coaches yelling at me all game long. I just think Roger Goodell should have some sort of, you know, like the steroid policy. It's 4-game suspension for the first offense. And then your second offense, you're out for the season. So it has to be some sort of black and white issue like that. Then I'd be more supportive of it.
Justin, your thoughts?
Well, I think the thing is, you know, taking the other side of it, I think Roger Goodell, he's been dealing with a lot of situations, and he's been able to bring more of an iron fist than what Paul Tagliabue ever had, which I think is a good thing. The consistency level, I can see your point there. But I think, you know, it comes down to with you know, Michael Vick, it was something that he was in jail for 23 months, and they really want to protect that shield and protect that what the NFL is. I mean, they have a multi-billion-dollar product. So as far as, you know, anybody that does something wrong is going to get punishable, you know, to the fullest extent of what they can get away with the union. And I think the thing is he doesn't want to go too far, because he doesn't want the union to have that backlash, and now they're as far as within the CBA agreement. So he's walking a tightrope and a fine line, but he's ruling the NFL more with the iron fist than whatever Paul Tagliabue did. Because, you know, as far as if a guy got in trouble back, you know, many years ago, as far as there was never a personal conduct policy that was put in place, should it be more to the letter of the law? Yeah, I think there should be more as far as defining things so that you could kind of see clearly where you state there as a player. But, you know, I think that's something that we might see being in the collective bargaining agreement when the next time when they negotiate the CBA.
But I think you're seeing teams now, they're starting to catch on to this, and they're pretty much saying, listen, Roger, butt out of this. We'll handle it ourselves. That's why the Falcons cut Michael Vick. That's why the Giants cut Plexico Burress. And then you go back last year, Kansas City Chiefs, when Larry Johnson had the when he threw the drink in the woman's face and he had an assault charge against him, it was a team-sanctioned suspension that Larry Johnson had to serve. So teams are starting to say, listen, Roger, just get out of your situation here. We'll handle it by ourselves. So teams are starting to catch on to this, I think.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think that's what Roger Goodell would like to see that happen, but if it doesn't happen, he's going to go ahead and enforce that. And, you know, hopefully we don't have the amount of problems and issues, you know, down the road. I mean, obviously that would be what Roger Goodell is hoping for, and obviously all the NFL teams are hoping for as well.
Yeah, touching base, guys, I mean, I know a lot of talk this morning was about the NFL moving from the NFL draft from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, breaking it up from the traditional Saturday, Sunday event. I think it's obvious it's, you know, been being moved this way. I mean, they broke the Browns down from 15 to 10 minutes. I think they're trying to make it more TV viewable. I wouldn't be surprised if the minutes are even broken down shorter if this actually comes to fruition. Justin, you can take this one first. What are your thoughts? I know we discussed it in the past, but I mean, it looks like this is going to happen, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does, and I think it's horrible. You know, to be honest with you, I think that what they're trying to make it more fan-friendly for the kind of the layman guy to kind of watch the first round on Thursday night, you know, kind of what the NBA draft has, you know, as far as Thursday night. But when it comes down to those true diehard guys that are fans of the NFL, fans of the NFL draft, you know, they don't want to see, okay, Thursday night from 7, you know, to 10 is the first round, and then Friday, you got, you know, the second and third round, and then Saturday you got 4 through 7. I mean, it's just, I think it's a horrible move. They'll go ahead and do it, you know, for the 2010 NFL draft, but hopefully they'll eventually see that, you know what, we didn't really gain anything by moving it to Thursday. Let's bring it back to kind of that weekend event where everybody can kind of have a traditional kind of draft party on their own and watch the NFL draft and kind of break it down, you know, in each pick and et cetera. So I think it was a bad move for the NFL. I mean, hopefully, you know, hopefully it turns out well for them, but I don't think it will. I think they'll end up going back to the original format of Saturday and Sunday.
I think it's really a necessary evil. I do agree that it is a bad move. I'd like to just have one weekend where it's just all draft and that's it. But, you know, they're probably spacing it out so they could get advertising dollars. You know, money is the root of all evil. So if it means breaking up the draft to get a couple extra $1 million of revenue, the NFL is going to do it.
Yeah, you know, that is definitely the cash cow there of, you know, advertising. You know, when it comes to, you know, corporate dollars and with the economic you know, impact that as far as the overall the global economy has suffered here recently over the, you know, they're going to try to get as much of the pie that they possibly can, and maybe by doing this they can get a couple extra million. But I think it might not be worth that if you alienate some of your core hardcore NFL fans.
Well, would you alienate them? I mean, the draft nerds are still going to come out in droves. They're still going to come out there and support their favorite team when they have the 37th pick in the draft. I mean, these people are still going to do what they're going to do. So I don't know if you're alienating them. I think you're just inconveniencing them. That's what I really think. That's what it all comes down to.
I think
it could be
The marathon of the draft, you know, that Saturday waking up at noon, going, you know, how it used to be. I mean, you know, wake up at noon, late into the evening, you know, they'd be, you know, finally you see the final picks off the clock. I mean, I know the last couple of years, I mean, you know, 5 o'clock, it seems like the whole thing's shutting down. The draft is over. You know, it's an odd situation. I think next year, if this actually comes to life, you know, it's neat, I think, 4 days of football. I mean, because we're going to watch it. I think the diehards are going to watch it. But I still don't see the typical, you know, nonchalant guy paying attention to the 6th and 7th round on Saturday like the draft Knicks have, right?
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So, well, guys, we got a minute left. And like I said, this 1 hour, man, it goes quick. This was my first hour show. Usually, you know, we're trying to fill up time. Now I'm trying to fight to get you guys on. I want to thank our NFL draft guru, Justin Van Fulfan, for joining us. and our NFL correspondent, Robert Brewer, for joining us today on Monday Night Lights. And everyone out there listening, remember, it's Monday Night Lights. We're going to look for a name change because we're on 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern, so it ain't nighttime. So get the emails out there. Send us some of your thoughts in the chat room. And you guys, I want to thank you for joining us, and hopefully we can touch base next Monday.
Yep. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you.
And all access is call exclusive.
That's it, guys.
Winding it down.
NFL Draft Bible.com. Check it out. Your host, Omar Shant. Signing off. Have a great week.